This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The only way you can take ESPN Rochester with you is the Radio.com app. Download it today and listen to us anytime, anywhere. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
Boy, aren't you lucky. If you're a fantasy football player, you've tuned in at the exact right time. You've got a lot of decisions to make. The very important waiver wire happening today. And we bring in one of our favorites, regular here in the sports bar, footballdiehards.com, SiriusXM, Bob Harris, joining us in the sports bar. Bob, thank you for the time this afternoon. How are you, buddy?
I'm fantastic. A little frazzled after that weekend, like everyone else in the fantasy world.
Yeah, I guess you're not alone there. I mean, everybody got hit one way or another, pretty much, Bob. I mean, where do we start? We know some of the names out there at the running back position, and if you're looking on the wire tonight, what are some of the names that are jumping out at you?
Well, I mean, the obvious ones, you know, you're looking at the New York Giants. Well, we'll start with Christian McCaffrey. We'll go in draft order because it's like the first two picks, right? Christian McCaffrey, the first pick off of most every board. I think the easiest, the most likely plug-and-play guy is Mike Davis, right, of all these free agents. Because he's the guy who they've, you know, consistently given the role to. He came in, they've talked about it, Matt Rhule. The problem with him is there's a little bit of a shelf life. You know, Christian McCaffrey's coming back. So as you're calculating your, you know, free agent bidding money, you have to calculate in that extra bit of calculus there as to the return of Christian McCaffrey. And, you know, he says he's going to be back here in 4 to 6 weeks, they're claiming. And we'll see about that. There's Saquon Barkley, obviously, out for the long haul. But you have pretty much now a three-way split with Devonta Freeman signing there. Look, I don't know what Devonta Freeman has left. He hasn't looked very good. There's a reason teams haven't wanted to pay his going rate up to this point. And I don't know that the Giants did. I don't know the details of that deal. I suspect he even had to take a little less than that $4 million he turned down from Seattle, right? So, but you got Deion Lewis there. You've got Wayne Gallman there. So you have a, you know, it's going to be a three-way split there. So I feel like, you know, this one's going to be a little more difficult. Maybe Lewis is the guy that has the most consistent role or most easily anticipated role as the receiving threat there. So like, let's say, you know, Freeman shows up and gets a little work in and maybe he's active, maybe not. Early on, I would expect Wayne Gallman to be the between the tackles, the early down guy. I know Jordan Radon of ESPN reported that the likelihood was that Gallman would come in and kind of take most of the early down work early on and then Deion Lewis play the receiving role. Similar to what Joe Judge saw while he was in New England. Sony Michel is the kind of the hammer and James White is the receiving threat. So it's just not as clear cut there. I think Cam Akers being out for the Rams, Malcolm Brown's got the little finger injury. I think Brown will be ready to play, but seems like, you know, Daryl Henderson is going to be good for a little while. Beyond that, I don't know. I don't see, there's something to be had in San Francisco, I think, where Jerick McKinnon will take the, maybe even a close to a full role. I know Jeffrey Wilson is still there, but there will be no Mostert. There will be no Coleman this week. So I think at least for a short term, McKinnon has some value in PPR leagues, and that's without digging into the quarterbacks and wide receivers.
Bob, let's talk about the hot names that were on the waiver wire last week at this time, because most of them busted out this week. I mean, Brown didn't have the kind of game in week two that you saw him have in week one. I know that Nyheim Hines was somebody that a lot of people were excited to grab off of the waiver wire after his week one performance. He barely showed up against the Vikings in week two. Do you give up on these guys? Do you hold steady on these guys? What are your thoughts on some of the names from last week's waiver wire that are still on rosters today?
Yeah, I think like Emmanuel Sanders also last night, just, you know, a complete dip. I mean, I think he had one target. So those guys are a little bit of concerns. I think Hines is going to have a tough slog behind Jonathan Taylor, a guy I invested in heavily this summer, and I hope a lot of your listeners did as well. We could see this coming, but now that role is truly Taylor's. I don't think that keeps Hines from having, you know, kind of a nice receiving role at some point. But if the plan comes to fruition for the Colts, I mean, they want to be a run-heavy team. They drafted this guy to be that feature back behind that road-grading offensive line. I think that's going to be a bit of a tough slog. I think guys like James Robinson, if you were, you know, were looking for guys with that clear path to workload, kind of was a bit of a surprise, right? And I think he's going to continue. There's another guy that there's not a lot in his way other than game script. And if the Jaguars can remain competitive, you know, and not fall behind, I think maybe we'll see more Chris Thompson. If that's the case, then sure, jump on board. I think Antonio Gibson, who people were drafting heavily, but maybe someone gave up on after a, you know, slow first week or whatever, I think he's going to be on the rise as well. I think that's a pretty reasonable expectation for him.
Bob, for those, as we look at some of the matchups here that like to stream their quarterbacks, are we ready to trust in Gardner Minshew in that passing offense? Because everybody's preseason ranking, really, okay, DJ Shark was up there from Jacksonville. Well, nobody was really high on the Jags going into this year. But after the first 2 weeks, are we ready to believe that this Jacksonville offense can at least put up numbers?
Yeah, I think that's safe. I think I would be on board with that. Look, I expected him to be a little further behind or a little better than I thought, but he has plenty of weapons. Seems to be playing effectively. We saw this last year. I think we just all remained a little skeptical because it's not a good team. And they seem to make some moves that confounded us in terms of how intent they were on winning football games. And you expect that defense to be horrible given the losses they sustained, you know, whether self-imposed or due to circumstances. So, you know, you kind of expect them to have to play keep up a little bit. It hasn't been that bad. I'm okay with him. And I think ideally, if you're like, you're in two quarterback leagues or super flex leagues, he's a solid quarterback too.
All right, let's dig a little bit deeper with a couple of rookies that might be out there if you're in a super flex or a 2QB league. What are your thoughts on Justin Herbert? What are your thoughts on Joe Burrow heading into week three?
Yeah, Burrow, I kind of was growing on me as we headed into the season, and I think, you know, what we've seen so far is pretty encouraging. They're, you know, rookies are always going to have ups and downs. I think he's going to be very busy. I think the big concern for me with Burrow is he's going to diminish the value of my Joe Mixon shares, because last year we saw, regardless of game script, they didn't really have much choice but to give the ball to Joe Mixon, whether they were 30 points behind or being competitive, because they just didn't have a lot to go with. Now as we saw against Cleveland, I mean, you know, they're going to lean on Joe Burrow, and I think there's enough weaponry surrounding him to make that a worthwhile move. And by the way, Drew Sample there, maybe a guy if you're streaming tight ends or whatever, that's going to come in and get a pretty solid workload out of nowhere, will probably be a pretty cheap DFS play this week. I think for Herbert, I thought he looked really good. You know, you kind of wonder if that wasn't just like the lightning in the bottle game. Nobody knew he was going to play. He didn't know he was going to play. The Chiefs didn't know he was going to play. He came out and they weren't really prepared for him. But boy, when you watch that game, he looked pretty solid. He's big. 6'6", 230 pounds, is a Chiefs linebacker learned, not necessarily the guy you want to just run headlong into. Linebacker, you know, knocked out of the game, Herbert not. And I think if you're like maybe someone who's invested in the pieces around him, you know, we saw Tyrod Taylor in week one not make full use of the check downs and the things we saw Phillip Rivers do that made Austin Eckler so valuable, and it was a little bit of concern. Mostly because Taylor is going to run before he checks down. And he's also more of a deep ball thrower, which seemed to play into Mike Williams' hands. It's just a one-game sample, so I don't want to get carried away, but that is also a history, as you guys remember from Buffalo and the incredible run Sammy Watkins had there, what was it, in 2015? You know, with Tyrod Taylor, you know, fueling a fire. So, I don't know. They keep saying the right things in Los Angeles, that Taylor is the starter if he's 100%, but it's that if he's 100% that worries you. You know, that leaves them plenty of wiggle room. And I just wonder if, you know, now that we've seen the first action, if you just don't pull that Band-Aid off and go with it.
Bob Harris, footballdiehards.com, our guest here in the sports bar. Bob, we all heard, we knew that Stephon Diggs was a good player. We just don't normally see a receiver right from the get-go have this kind of chemistry. 8 catches again, going over 100 yards again, another touchdown for Diggs. And Bob, it leads me to question, what are they doing in Minnesota? I mean, they couldn't make that work. I mean, from both angles there, to me, it looks like the Bills kind of robbed the Vikings in that trade.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Vikings, The Vikings would secretly tell you the same if you slapped them awake at 3 a.m. and shined a light in their face. they'd probably have to admit to it. Look, the numbers don't lie. I think this past week, Diggs had more by himself than their entire passing attack. Now, that's maybe a little bit of an outlier, but I don't know too much the way Josh Allen's playing right now. And look, we saw those little moments, you know, the Bills dropping those little Twitter highlights out from practices. You're kind of going, okay, yeah, they're showing the one pass that he, you know, and it turns out it's pretty close. And look, you guys know I'm a huge John Brown fan from his time in Arizona through Baltimore and out of Buffalo. I think he's a great player as well. I think it's just, you know, great receiving core for Buffalo. Got a lot better. And, it's been both. And I'm not going to say Josh Allen's better, but I think he's getting better.
Yeah. We're kind of stunned ourselves, Bob. I mean, you know, a lot of critics of Josh Allen outside of this area and inside of this area as well, but hard to pick apart his game based on what you've seen through
right.
2 weeks. Bob, what?
The opponents so far have been, you know, have been favorable. Let's put it that way. Let's get a tough opponent. You guys are coming into a tough front ahead.
So yeah, absolutely.
We'll see what happens. But I'm still playing him.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we mentioned it earlier. 8-0 for the next 4 opponents that the Buffalo yep. Bills have to face. Bob, what has been the biggest surprise so far this fantasy season for you? What's caught you off guard?
I don't know if you know me. I'm like seeing 1,000 things and everything. You know, kind of try to take it all in stride. But I think the pleasant surprise is that, you know, I think Cam Newton, and I guess it should not have come as a surprise, and I kind of told people, look, this is a good coaching staff. Turns out New England, they probably are going to come up with a plan to use Cam Newton, and they certainly have. I mean, I think beyond that, some of the surprises are just more of the, you know, the personnel, maybe the, you know, I want to say Carson Wentz's, you know, struggles, regression, is a bit of a surprise, but I mean, based on how the offensive line, the injuries and the attrition has played out there, it should not be a huge surprise. I would say the Jaguars, releasing Leonard Fournette came as a surprise, not just, you know, I mean, look, they kind of foreshadowed it a little bit, but if you talk to the people who covered the team on a daily basis there, they were all taken aback when it actually happened. I think we had gotten to the point where, okay, they couldn't get any draft capital for them. You know, they're just going to ride it out this year, and they didn't. And then the landing spot in Tampa, you know, nobody should be surprised to see Fournette take over this role almost right away. It was a really great matchup this past week, so I don't want to hang too much on that, you know, on those single performance. But clearly the train is leaving the station here, and I think until, you know, the fumble that Ronald Jones had, you know, Bruce Arians said all along, it's Ronald Jones' job until he loses it. He may have lost it with that fumble.
Bob, what do you make of Cleveland? The Cleveland question, yes, they have great running backs, but the Baker Mayfield question, a quarterback that the all-22 guys were just tearing up and down. He was bad against Baltimore, but then Thursday night, it's the Bengals, sure, and yeah, he was moving the football. So going ahead, you got a nice matchup week 3, but your thoughts on the Browns passing attack, and have they figured it out here?
You know, work in progress. Kevin Stefanski seems, you know, like he's a smart coach and that he'll get things figured out to a degree more so than we saw last year. Look, it was, you know, whether you want to blame Freddie Kitchens or just the people around him or whatever. I mean, it wasn't a great situation from a coaching standpoint there. And so that's going to get better. And maybe it's just going to take a little time. Look, we all knew this was a weird offseason and that, you know, I mean, Zoom meetings are great. They don't kind of make up for on the field work. And maybe this is just going to take a little more time. And it's something all of us as fantasy managers need to be prepared for is the levels of volatility we're going to see like become the norm in September. You guys know I call it the September the new August. Well, that makes well extend into October as people figure out schemes. And I think maybe some of the teams with continuity are going to end up being a little further ahead than some of the teams without. And that may be a problem that Baker Mayfield and that passing attack deal with for quite a while. I think they're fortunate they have the running backs they have to carry them until such time as they get that dialed in.
Bob, to that end, can we look at some of these 2-0 teams and you tell us if you're a believer or if you're a buyer or a seller and what they've got going on? Because I think while you see some teams that are really good and they look really good and it's obvious that, hey, the Ravens, they're really good. But what are your thoughts on a team like, I don't know, the Cardinals at 2-0?
Yeah, I think, look, the NFC West is, you know, looks like it's going to be a super tough division. I think between them and the Seahawks and the Rams, you know, all being there, look, San Francisco could just as easily be there had they not played one of their own. So I think I'm buying this. I thought the NFC West was going to be very powerful. I think the Cardinals needed a little help on defense. Isaiah Simmons picking up the pace a little bit there for them and at least covering tight ends or at least knocking them out of games, says George Kittle. So, yeah, I'm buying the entire NFC West, and I have been all along.
What about the Steelers?
The Steelers, I mean – yeah, for now. I mean, that division is. I mean, I think the Ravens are clearly going to separate from the crew. But I think beyond that, thinking Pittsburgh with that kind of that level of defense that Ben Roethlisberger back are going to remain competitive all year. I would be shocked if they weren't.
Bears
are. It's an illusion.
All right, yeah. I get that one out of from my own personal satisfaction.
It's an illusion. I'm encouraged. And I think Mitchell Trubisky, at some point, is going to be forced to put an entire game together. And when that happens, we'll see how it goes.
What about the Raiders?
The Raiders, it's a very tough division. I love this division because everyone's forced to play keep up, right? You see the weapons they've added and the things that they've tried to do. Heartfelt condolences to the hopes of the Denver Bronco fans with the injury issues there. I'm not sure they're going to be able to keep up early on, but I think the Raiders can at least keep pace. Look, Derek Carr has been much maligned. One thing, if you remember early in his career, he could throw touchdowns. If they put enough pieces around him and they can keep this going and maybe give him a little protection, he can't have people hitting him or he'll totally blow up. But if they can keep the pass protection up, and they did it last night without Trent Brown against a really tough defense. So I'm encouraged. I don't think it's going to stand. I don't think it's going to hold, though. I think the Chiefs are going to remain the team to beat them.
And finally, for my co-host here, Ryan Tannehill, super fan, what about the Tennessee Titans?
Man, the Tennessee Titans, I think they're a very good team. They've obviously won a couple of very close games, maybe games they should have lost. So I'm not going to say this is going to extend on forever. But I do like, I like the coach. I like some of the components they have, especially on offense. I think Ryan Tannehill is, turning out to be what we saw last year, maybe is the real thing and not so much an illusion. But I think this division is going to remain kind of how it is. It's going to be one of those really tough fought divisions. There's going to be a lot of 8-8 to, 9-6, 9-6, 7, a lot of those teams in this division.
And then one final thought on the Buffalo Bills, who are 2-0, but their schedule ahead, they still got Kansas City, Bob. They still have the NFC West, beginning with the Rams this week. They still have Pittsburgh. They still have Vegas and Tennessee. So as good as we feel here in Western New York, we know what's ahead. So are the Bills legit contenders, or is that schedule going to drag them down in the end here, Bob?
Well, obviously, we will find out how legit, but I think they're definitely legit. Look, you could say as soon as Tom Brady left New England that this year should have given you all hope. I think the level of play, look, there's something to be said for continuity, steady coaching. And I think, so I'm impressed with what the Bills have done from the front office, Brandon Bean, down to Sean McDermott. I like that approach that they're taking with this team and the things they've done. They're obviously adding talent. They have a great defense. So I think all the pieces are in place. Also, I think that Patriot coaching staff that I mentioned, they're kind of wily, those guys. And I think they'll maximize the abilities of people around them. And I'm going to say the same of Brian Flores that I just said of Buffalo. I think the Miami Dolphins realize this is going to be a long-term effort for them, but I like the people they have in place to get it turned around. And obviously the draft this year will help them out over the long term, but probably not this year. So you're sitting pretty this year.
Bob, our conversation morphed from a fantasy football conversation to a general football conversation, and I'm telling you, I'm not angry at any of it. It's great having you on, as is always the case. Before we let you go, I want to make sure you let our listeners know where they can get more of your work.
You can go to footballdiehards.com, and everything I do is found there. You can hear me on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio like 6 days a week. The only day you can't hear me is Wednesday, and you can hear me on demand there, but I recommend a break. I'm best taking in limited doses.
Bob Harris, the great Bob Harris, footballdiehards.com. Be well, Bob. Really appreciate your time today.
Thanks, guys. Have me on again. I love it.
You got it. Thanks, Bob. Bob Harris, footballdiehards.com. I love how we can take a fantasy football conversation and then turn it into just a general, like, what's real and what's not. And these guys look at, you know, every team, every player, every number, and really, really pick it apart. And so when he says that he's impressed by the Bills, like, that means it means a lot to hear it from a guy who looks at the numbers as closely as a guy like Harris does.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming on here like, oh, let me tell him what they want to hear.
No.
And then, no, it's not. He's not about that. No, the Bills have arrived here. Let's be clear about that. It's just that, and maybe this will toughen them up come playoff time. The fact that, okay, the easy part of the schedule, it's done. It's done.
That's, yeah. Let's save this for happy hour, because with this stretch of four games that they've got coming up here against a combined opponent's record of 8-0, what are you comfortable with as a Bills fan? We'll get to that here in less than 15 minutes with happy hour on the way here in the sports bar. Before that, plenty of news and notes to get through from around the NFL. It's time for NFL appetizers, Gino.
Yeah, so a lot of injury notes, obviously, in this league. We will start with the opponent this week, the Rams, who might actually carry the rock. The Giants are trying to come up with their replacement, and they're bringing in a familiar name as they have to fill in here for Saquon Barkley. We have the Broncos oh my gosh, this guy's getting another job in this league. Yeah, this is the quarterback depth in this league right now. And news also about one of the all-time greats, Deion Sanders, getting a job, but wait till you hear who is on his coaching staff.
Or are they on his coaching staff? We'll get to that and more. It's all on the way. NFL appetizers in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
ESPN Rochester is excited to introduce Radio.com Rewind. Radio.com Rewind. It's your way to check out and listen to the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. If you missed it over the past 24 hours, on-demand audio of Rochester's only local sports talk show and afternoon drive. Download the Radio.com app and select and favorite ESPN Rochester. Maybe you missed a big interview, something funny, or just want to hear the entire show. Easy to navigate. Pause and rewind any length of segment you choose, or take a listen to the entire show. It's the all-new Radio.com Rewind from ESPN Rochester. Download the Radio.com app now and rewind up to 24 hours so you can catch anything you might have missed on the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Listen the way you want, when you want. Only from AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.